Jowson, you should give me a beat to start the show before I throw a Diddy party without Diddy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Jowson.
Hi, everyone. Jowson with you here, Romantic Truth Las Vegas. Well, we have a pretty interesting show today. We're going to talk about racist white women dating black men. And what really gave me the incentive to do this was based on a lady's opinion. And we're going to go and dive into that particular world. But what I wanted to do was to show that some of the criteria that she had about racist white women that could be applied to pretty much anybody, if you really think about it, when it comes down to preferences and so forth. So we're going to go over that. Now, here's the thing that I want you to be aware of, because there is a new romance scam out. As we know, the traditional romance scams were for the guy to try to swoon you online and then have you send him money or send him some sort of gift through Amazon, or to go out and buy these iTunes and Play Store cards. Well, times have changed now. What they're doing now is, instead of doing that, these people are trying to be a little bit more sophisticated in working two against the middle. Meaning that they are using women to actually be their accomplice in crimes. Things such as having them taking out seconds on their houses, drawing down their 401ks and retirements. And what they plan on doing with this is, instead of them sending the money directly to the scammer, instead what they're doing is convincing these women that they will get the money through a third party, by having the woman that they're manipulating, woman number one, to take her money or life savings and deposit it in woman number two's account. Now, what they've done, they've already got the information from woman number two, her banking information from her, because he has swooned her. Woman number one goes and deposits the money in woman number two's account. And he may tell woman number two, this lady's going to put some money in your account. I'm sending you this money through her. He tells woman number one that woman number two is a friend of his or works for him of some sort. Another thing these men are doing, having these women set up LLCs, shell companies, so they could dump their monies into these accounts, these companies. Now, here's the sad part about this. A lot of these women don't realize how risky this is. There was a lady in Mississippi that was found dead, and she had sent $1.5 million to one of these romance scams. And it's under investigation now. Ladies, you have to be careful. These guys are good at what they do. Some of them are not men. Some of them are women. Some of them are whole families in some cases. It depends on where they live and how they have it set up. They have call centers in some places. In other places, they're using internet cafes. It depends. Your policy should never be to share any information that involves your money with anyone online. I don't care if you have it to throw away. Don't do it. You're being used. In this scam, by him having woman number one deposit money in woman number two's account, number two is expecting the deposit. Then the scammer will tell her to go and open up an LLC open up some other kind of bank account, maybe a joint account with his name on it, who knows, or his company's name, where he can have access to those funds. When he's dealing with woman number one, he cuts off the communication. Woman number one is asked out. After he drains the funds out of woman number two's account, the same thing happens. He closes the account or takes her off of it, and then he goes on to his next victim. These people are a little bit more sophisticated now than they used to be. The key, ladies, is this. If you can't meet this man face to face, the answer is no on everything, even dating him. The reason why I say this is because these people are very slick and sophisticated, and they have an excuse for everything. Think of them like being timeshare salespeople. Every counter you come up with, they got a counter to block it because they want your money. But it's the same way with these folks. Nothing's different. They're the same way. So please be vigilant on that. You can read up on it. I think they have it published on the news, and you'll be able to go and take a look at it. I just watched it on Channel 9 out of California, or Los Angeles. Just be mindful. These scammers are slick. Those of you with iPhones, another way you can help protect yourself. AirTags. If you have a vehicle, you may want to put an AirTag in it. So just in case it's stolen, you can track it and get the police the information to find it. Take it out. Conceal it somewhere in the vehicle where they won't be able to find it. These are things that will help you. Ladies, if you're on a date with a guy and you decide for some strange reason to ride with him and you don't really know him, take an AirTag and put it in your purse, in your wallet, or somewhere where it could be tracked. Just in case something goes wrong. You have an idea. And it gives you the option where if something does go wrong, at least there's a way you have an opportunity to put this somewhere in his vehicle where he probably wouldn't notice it and he could still track it. But as I told you before, only if it goes wrong. Just don't do it for the hell of it. Don't be a stalker or nothing like that. As I told you before, before you go on that date, download the timestamp app. Take a selfie with the two of you together. Take a picture with the rear of his vehicle, license plates and everything in view. Do not put it online. Send it to a loved one, a family member, a friend, to let them know, so they at least know what the car looked like. They know the two of you were together and it's time stamped on and documented on where you are, so that if something were to go awry, a couple of things that they would know about. One, they would know who you were with at what time that you were with this person on the date. Number two, they'll know what the car looks like. They have the license plate number. Maybe they have to go to the police. And then if you have the AirTag in the car, you know where the vehicle has been or where it's going. These things will help you to protect you. But I say, you only need to use these things, these precautions, if you're on a date with someone and they're driving you for the first time and you don't know them that well. This is just to protect you. AirTag in your purse, photos, selfie of the two of you, and a picture of the rear of his car. What you're looking for is the license plate number and the taillight pattern of the vehicle. Most police officers can decipher from that. I always recommend that you provide your own transportation at least for the first date, because you never know. You never know what kind of person you're dealing with. Not to scare you, to inform you and make you aware. Now, this online dating thing is getting kind of out of hand when it comes down to these different apps that are coming out now. Many of the apps are redundant. Many of them are not worth the money. Many of them are catering to very young people that are willing to split with their money. And the only reason why dating apps are so popular now is due to the Gen Z population that does not want to really settle down in a relationship. Instead, they want a casual date. That's the reason why they're so popular. Because remember before, it was not this influx of dating apps. Now, it is more so than ever. Now, one thing that I will tell you, there are a lot of apps that are just out there where the women are just giving their cell phone and they want you to text them. For you fellas, don't waste your time on those. Because those women are either selling ass or they're a scammer. One of the two. They'll give you their cell phone number before they even say hello. So you already know that's a given red flag right there. What do we usually have to do with the woman? We have to ask her for her phone number, right? What I will usually do with a woman is I will give her my number and reassure her. After we're comfortable, we can still continue to talk on the app. But when you're comfortable, here's my number where you can call me or text me. But I let her know this is no pressure to ask you for your number. You can still communicate here until you're comfortable enough where you can call or text. So in that way, she doesn't feel exposed. So when she's comfortable enough, she'll do it. Because the old method of the guy calling her and you having to go through all of these different levels of trying to see if she's comfortable enough to give you her phone number, and I'll just wait until she's ready instead of going through the back and forth. Those days of chivalry, when people would do shit like that, that was back when you had the rotary phone. Things have changed now. Now, another question asked. And Mary asked this question, and she is at a, I don't know what this city at, because I know this is a misspelling on the city. I think she meant to spell Lexington, Kentucky. She got Leckington, Kentucky. L-E-H-I-N-G-T-O-N. Well, anyway, she writes the following. I just want to ask you a question about one of your previous podcasts. You were talking about women, in particular about women trying to be young, trying to retain their youth. I'm a woman that's 58 years old, and men tell me that I look like I'm 28. And what I want to know is, why are men so obsessed about a physical appearance of a woman? I agree with you that a woman could be herself at any time, but it seems as though these men want the woman always cute and pretty. Cute and pretty has its consequences. The back of my heels are killing me and my back is aching. Is there any way you could tell men that this is okay for a season, but definitely not for a lifetime? Eric. Well, she got it spelled right here at the bottom, Lexington, Kentucky. All right. Well, Mary, and I'm looking at your attached photo. And, my dear, I'm going to tell you the truth. You said you look like you're around 28. From the neck up, yes. And this is no disrespect to you. But physically, you've aged. And there's nothing wrong with aging. I mean, what I'm getting at is, I'm sure you accepted the compliment from these guys, and you're an attractive woman, but just wearing this dress with the straps on the shoulders and seeing your arms, you're north of 40. But that's okay. But what I'm trying to get you to see is, don't let these men fill your head that you're something you're not. Because a lot of guys are building you up to tear you down. A lot of men do this with women. because it's a control mechanism for some guys. Now, I'm sure you don't have a problem finding a man, because I would date you. With the way you look, I would date you, because you look like a woman that's about 50 or so. Nothing's wrong with that. That's you. Just don't buy the bullshit that some of these guys are selling you. That's all I say. Because they will sell you just that. Alright, let's go here. Marcus writes the following. And Marcus is out of Coral Gables, Florida. I just have a question. Maybe you can give me an answer. What does it mean when a woman says that she needs about 30 days before she starts dating you? I went on a date with this lady last night. We've been chatting now for almost 3 months. And she told me she needs 30 days before we could start a relationship. And she asked me if I could give her 30 days. What do you think is transpiring here? We'd love to hear your input. Religiously listen to your show. Marcus, there's probably a family matter she's dealing with. I'm willing to bet you. And of course, this is speculative on my end. But it just seems to me that this may be something that involves maybe her marital status, maybe her children. Maybe it's a health issue. Who knows? But here's the thing that I will tell you. You're probably wondering if you should give her the 30 days. Well, I think you should. 30 is not bad. When she goes into 60 and 90 and that kind of crap, that's a waste of time. There's something that's major. It could be she's getting her divorce papers. It could be a plethora of things. She might get custody of her kids. Who knows? But I would get a commitment of 30 days from her. She said 30 days. Stick with it. Anything over 30, then she would have to do some explaining because it's wasting your time. But I'd give her the 30 days if I were you. This means 30 days that she probably wouldn't be contacting you, going out with you, being with you. Unless she's married. And if she's married and needs 30 days to move out and still be married to the man, it's not helping you any either. But that's what I would look at. I recently signed up with Elite Singles, which is an interesting dating app. And it's primarily for professionals, that kind of thing. So, we'll see how it goes. I'm just signed up for the experience just to see what it's like. Because some of these other apps that are out there in the market, that these newer apps, it's nothing more than just a social media feed. That's all it is. So most of these apps are now. For the life of me, I don't understand these women that go on Snapchat and they play this loud ass music and they just look into the camera as if a guy is supposed to just be, because she's looking into the camera playing loud music. It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. What? The thirst is real for some men. We're going to get this bill started in just a second.
A lot of people asked me to talk about this in the last video, so I'm going to get into it. White women that are racist that are in interracial relationships. This comment comes from a video where I'm talking specifically about white people and black people, so I'm going to keep it to the white women in interracial relationships with black men just to keep it simple, but this could pertain other places. First, I'm going to talk about how you can tell, and then I'm going to talk about why I think that is. The number one way to tell that a white woman is racist and in an interracial relationship with a black man is that she doesn't have not one friend that's a black woman. And I'm not even talking just true friend, like that's obvious too, but I'm talking that she probably don't even have a black woman as an acquaintance. She probably doesn't even fuck with the black women she works with. This white woman is very set on specifically only fucking with black men. The next thing that gives this away is the way that they always talk about how they want biracial babies or black babies on the contingency that those black babies have biracial features. And feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it rubs me, sorry, there's something in my throat. It rubs me the wrong way when they specifically talk about, I want biracial babies. Your babies are gonna be perceived as black. You need to understand that if you bring biracial babies into the world in America, a lot of, especially racist white people, are going to perceive your babies as black because they're not fully white. So specifically always saying, I want biracial babies, why can't you just say black? Does that make sense? Maybe I'm wrong there. You guys feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's giving something weird, you know? Like, your babies are gonna be black. They're gonna be perceived as black. Why are you grasping on to the little bit of whiteness that they're gonna have when that's not how they're gonna be perceived? Moving forward, god damn, sorry. The next thing that gives this away is these white women usually don't have friends of other vulnerable populations. And if they do, they cherry pick which type of vulnerable population they're gonna fuck with. So these are the type of white women that'll be like, oh, I have a gay best friend, but they don't actually see that as a person who happens to be gay. They also likely don't have friends on the other end of the spectrum of the LGBTQ community. They probably don't advocate for trans rights or have trans friends. They also probably don't have friends of other ethnicities. Even men, they have racist tendencies towards other races besides just the specific black man they're dating. And the reason why they're dating this specific black man, in my opinion, is this very specific type of black man makes it his whole personality to hate black women. And these white women are so insecure that they feel like they can't compete in their own white community. I don't like the way that sounds, but they can't compete against other white people for, anyways, you know what I'm trying to say, I hope. But so they go after these black men to compete with black women, and then they both like bond over this weird hatred that they have for black women. That also ties into why they're not friends with black women, which I said in the beginning. The last really big indicator is that these white women oftentimes don't advocate for black issues. They especially don't advocate for black issues that don't pertain specifically to the black man they're dating. They cannot see outside of themselves. And I guess one more thing, the really big indicator for me is anytime, god damn, I'm sorry about that, but anytime these white women get called out for being racist in interracial relationships, because it's very easy to see, other people can see all of these signs, their first immediate go-to is, but my boyfriend's black, but my husband's black. Yeah, but how does his mom feel about you? Do his...
All right, folks, you've heard it. What are your thoughts? Now, I got a question to the black man. And I'm not throwing any shade on this lady. I don't know her. I'm just only in conflict with her philosophy here. Would you date her based on what you heard? My answer would be a resounding no. She's trying to fuse the political environment with a personal preference. Can't do the two. You know, fellas, I always tell you to go for the woman aesthetically that you want first, and then work on seeing whether or not she meets the milestones of integrity, accountability, and those other aspects, trust and everything else, right? That's what women do to you. Why can't you do it back to them? Now, let's look at a few things here. Let's unpack, because she said some shit that was totally off the wall here. She talked about, you can tell whether or not she's a racist because a white woman who's a racist in an interracial relationship doesn't have any black female friends. This is bullshit. What if you're in a community where there's only one black male that got sent there for his job, and it's a predominantly white community, maybe a small community, but there are no other blacks, and he winds up dating one of the white women in that community? By her logic, then that woman would be considered a racist. But how could that be if she's dating someone who is of another race? Because you got to remember, if they're seen in public, she's going to experience ridicule and all the rest of that. So if she was a racist, she wouldn't be with them in the first place, so that wouldn't make any sense. Now, take for instance, she's a white woman, and she works a job, and there's some black women there. You're not going to be their friends anyway. You're going to work with them. But most people in the workplace don't do what? They don't want to fraternize too much with anybody, even people within their own race. It's like you're on an elevator with these people for how many years you stay at that company. you become familiar with them to a certain degree, but you don't want to know them too well. And you don't want them to know too much about you and know you too well. You're not hanging out with these people. You work with them. You want to break from them as anything else. You wait for vacation to come around so you don't have to see the motherfuckers. That's with anybody. So this is a poor barometer to use when you're talking about someone being racist. There are black people that don't speak to each other in the workplace. I've worked in many of those environments. Let me tell you, I was working on a project for this one company one time. They only had one black man in that whole department. I was the new guy, and I was his boss. And what I did, the first day I got there, I brought them into the office individually, talked to them, get a feel for them, shared a little bit about myself and my background. So in that way, I wasn't going to be a total stranger just coming in. This man told me when he sat down in that chair in front of me, not to fuck it up for us because we're the only flies in the buttermilk. He's telling me this and tells me that we probably don't need to fraternize because they may think that we're conspiring. I took it to heart and I listened to him. And I found out in many ways he was right. Because there were a lot of people that already had their little cliques going on. So her argument is moot on those two things. Let's go on to only dating black men. This is very broad and ambiguous because there are some women out there that's all they will date are black men. Just like there's some women, white women, that will only date Hispanic men. There are white men that will only date black women. You will find people that have this preference. That you can't change. You can't do anything about that. So what do you have to do? You have to do your due diligence and do the work to find out whether or not what this person's agenda is. There are some people that only date ethnicities and minorities for one reason, to prove a political point that they're not racist or to rebel against their family. You have to decipher this before you get involved in an interracial relationship to know where they're coming from. And it doesn't necessarily have to be race. It could be based on class too. Remember we talked about class? It could be based on that too. Then you have other people that have an inferiority complex and they feel as though the only way they can assert control over some part of their lives is to get someone that is in a compromised class as they see it. Someone who's not a majority. And get that minority and lord over them. When you look at interracial relationships, the highest number of divorces are between white males and Hispanic women. The interesting thing is, black women who marry white men stay together a minimum of 20 years on average. For black men with white women, it's less than 10 years, according to Pew Research. Now, what does this come down to? You have to also watch out for the patronizing white women that are out there who only date black men. They come on both sides of the equation. See, the difference is you'll have some conservative white women who will date a black man, but they got to choose the good N-word, the good black man. The good black man to her is someone that dislikes people of his own kind as she does, but she has designated him as being special. And the only reason why he's special is because of the fact that he thinks like she does. They have a bond of hatred towards a certain group, his group, and he's given her some good dick. On the other side of the equation, you have the racist, liberal, white woman. We're talking extremes here only. We're not talking about the other gradation in the middle. We'll get to that later. You have the other liberal white woman who's patronizing, condescending, and looks at the black man as being thankful for being with her. You know, it's like the altruistic views of some of the abolitionists back in the day. If it weren't for me, you would have nothing. You would be nothing. Be thankful that I'm not like those other people over there who are racist. Now kiss my ring. Now, going towards the center, you have others that may be separatists. They don't want you living in their neighborhood, but they'll date you as long as they can date you in your neighborhood, where they can leave all their quote-unquote filth there. Oh, but you can't come to their home. You can't come to their communities because you will soil their reputation. What kind of fucking relationship would you like to be in with that? Nobody would, hopefully. But some do. Some do. So what are they fearful of? Being disowned? Being ostracized by their peers? If they have a business, especially if it's like real estate or something like that that's public facing, they may lose clients. By association. So they got to see you on the down low. Or they meet you in a hotel or some clandestine venue. And some of them don't even have the dignity of meeting you in person. They have to meet you on some CDS website somewhere. Then you run the risk of trying to decipher whether or not this person is just into you because they love you, or they're into you just for a fetish, or they're into you just for exploratory dating, which is nothing more than just to see whether or not is the stereotype true. Then you have others that are out there who have such low self-esteem because they don't register high enough in their own racial group. They may go to a black nightclub, for instance, and the girl may be white and out of shape, but all these black men are clustering around them, and that's the attention they get to be put up on a pedestal that they couldn't be put on in their own communities. You have those. Because they want that vantage point that they couldn't get around the people who they were with. And they don't necessarily have to be fat. It could be a situation where they could be very difficult, very bossy. It could be a whole plethora of things that's the reason why they're rejected by those other folks in their own group. You know, it's like the person that leaves the United States because it's too hard to make it, and they go to the Philippines where they could live like a king because the economy's different. Same philosophy. The next thing. Biracial equals black when they talk about children. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you. The only women that I've ever heard mention a race of a child while I was out there dating for those 30 plus years were black women during the 1990s going into the early 2000s, talking about I was too dark. They wanted a child with long flowing hair and green eyes, something I didn't have. In other words, they made the comparison of the way I look versus the child that they would like to have. And I was not the vehicle for that because we both had brown eyes. I didn't get mad at them. I accepted it. I didn't hate black women, didn't quit dating black women because of that. Because that was her preference. And the other women who chose not to be with me based on that premise, they were stuck with the aesthetics. And the problem was, they were striving for a goal. You see, there are some people in minority groups that are striving to get rid of the ethnicity and racial characteristics within their own family line. And what they're constantly trying to do is to groom the next generation to get out of that until it's totally eliminated. It's a far cry from what it used to be, where they wanted you to go to school, learn how to read and all this other stuff, and learn how to educate yourself so that you have a shot in society just to have a decent life. But it's gone beyond the pale of that. Now they're trying to become something they're not over generations. Now, I still don't understand the philosophy, because whites will be a minority very soon. And then that has some challenges in itself with people trying to adjust. You've already seen the way the right is fiercely trying to keep things the way they were back in the 1950s and 40s, because they have an aversion to that change. But who's doing this? People in my generation, the boomers, some of the Gen Xers. But Gen Y, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they're waiting to clear the slate of our asses so that they could go on and live the way they want to live, date who they want to date, love who they want to love. Why do you think politically the progressives are looking at people like a Nancy Pelosi, who stepped aside, or Joe Biden, who's still running for president and is the president? They look at them and Donald Trump as people that are in the way still. Not necessarily because of their age, as in Biden's case, but because of the age. Same thing with Trump, because of the age. Now, the thing you have to realize too is this. With that said, a lot of times, people that talk about wanting to have a biracial child, some want to do it as a novelty. You know, there's a big to-do when Madonna and a lot of other celebrities started adopting African children and children from different races and ethnicities. Remember when John McCain was running for president and they were talking about how he had a black love child, and to find out the child wasn't even black. But they tried to use that as a negative thing, a person's humanity as being negative based on skin color. It's amazing how we devolved in the past, but this younger generation is evolving for the future. So let's look at some of the other things here. You notice she also said that there had to be some sort of acknowledgement of the vulnerable populations, gay, LGBTQ, and all that. Look, that's a personal preference if they want to acknowledge that. That doesn't mean a person's racist. There are black people that don't even acknowledge the LGBTQ community. You look at the continent of Africa and all the countries that have gotten laws against homosexuality. Uganda, Ghana, Nigeria, and the list goes on. But see, what they're looking for is universal acceptance. You're not going to get it. Black people haven't gotten it in hundreds of years. You're not going to get it in these groups either, where it's universally accepted. Not going to happen. But this doesn't necessarily paint a white woman as being racist if she doesn't have a gay friend, or if she doesn't have a friend of whatever ethnicity, whatever background, whatever, whether it's transgender or whatever. In fact, most people find it patronizing when you say you have a so-and-so friend. Usually, what do? They meet the person first, and then after you met that person, then they say, well, you know, so-and-so is gay. After the fact. Not just saying generically, I have a gay friend. And see, that's the thing. See, the reason why many people in the black community are upset with the LGBTQ community. It's not that they are gay. It's not that they are lesbian. It's not that they're bisexual. It's not any of the things that has to do with their lifestyle. It has to do more with the fusing of them trying to align themselves with the civil rights movement. Because, see, the thing you have to realize, no matter how you look at it, it's still a lifestyle choice you have. Being black is not a lifestyle choice. It's a racial designation that you can't wash off. So this is the biggest offense they have to that. You have the choice. There are people that have gone, took the hormones, got halfway through the process, and changed their mind and said, you know what? I'm not going through with this. I'll just go on and stay a man. That's a choice. Every day you wake up and your skin is dark, it's going to be dark whether you go to sleep, whether you wake up, whether you even call yourself white. You're not going to be treated as such. That's the main issue the African-American community have with the LGBTQ community, for the most part. And there are other issues, too, because what they don't talk about are gay white males that hate black men. That's something they don't bring up. You could just look in the media. You look at the roles people play in movies now. Who are the straight black masculine men that young black men can look up to? None of them are under the age of 40. You got Denzel. You got Samuel L. Jackson. Because the rest of these men are feminine or gay. Again, nothing's wrong with people being gay. But here's the problem. You have these women out there calling men gay when they don't get a date with them or when the guy that is not interested in them. And they use that as a derogatory term. A lot of black women do that shit. But yet the gay community don't get upset about it when they do it. Let a black man do it, call another black man gay in front of gay white males, they may take it the wrong way. You see, there's a rift within the black community between black men and black women to some degree. There are a lot of black women that are frustrated because they couldn't choose the right black man. You got a lot of these baby mamas around that angry because of the fact that they're getting older and they realize that they've made some poor lifestyle choices in the past. A lot of it based on aesthetics, based on lies that men told them. And so, what do they do? And for many, you look at some of these talk shows over the years, they have talked about black men in such a derogatory way that it fed into the narrative of what's been perpetuated about black men throughout history. Being lazy, being shiftless, being worthless, being this, being irresponsible. And you wonder why 49 to 51% of black men are single without children. Because there are repercussions behind that. And they're like, okay, well, since I'm not wanted there, let me go on and see if I can go somewhere else. So you have this abundance of black women, like in places like Atlanta. They talk about all the gay black men down there. There's nobody here. There's no that. Well, you know, there's a whole, like other 49 states where there are black men that may not be of that persuasion or lifestyle. But what is it? They don't want to relocate. So they sit there in misery, many of them. Now, here's the other thing, too, with this whole situation. And I'm not trying to start any beef with the LGBTQ community. I have plenty of friends, true friends, that are members of that community. But these are things I'm pointing out because what has happened for the most part, when you look at what happened with the 2020 election with Biden, there's no knock against Biden. He had to do what he had to do politically. Who did they have spearhead his campaign? Who was the voter bloc that he was concerned with? Black females. They didn't go to the males. And the male, of course, took opposition, and they voted for Trump in a protest vote. So as a result, what did Trump do with this recent campaign? He came out with a Trump Force tennis shoe. He came out with the prospect of having Tim Scott as his vice presidential candidate. Patronizing. And who did they try to influence the most in order to spread the message in the black community? Black male rappers. Because that was the fallout from them ignoring the black male once again, as society has done so many times in so many places. So you've had the entertainment industry that's jettisoned black males. I'm talking about straight black males. And you've also had, politically, it's done. So naturally, you see this disdain. Now, a couple other things we've got to look at here with this, now that we're on this subject. Being that that's been the case, we look at some of the movies that are produced now by some of these black producers. You turn on Tubi, what do you always see? It's always a black man, black female. They're always involved in some kind of criminal activity. Somebody sleeping with somebody else's wife. They're always talking about chasing fame and riches and all this other stuff. Do we see any romantic comedies by black producers? Do we see any love stories by black producers? Do we see shows where drugs and gun violence is not even a part of it? Or where a woman is being called a bitch or a guy is being called the N-word every 15 or 20 minutes? You could flip through show after show after show after show on Tubi and these other programs. And what do these networks do? Whenever they're starting out with a network in order to bolster their audience, first place they go is to the black community. Remember in Living Color and all those shows, Living Single, all those shows they had? We were happy as fuck to see ourselves on there. But at least there was a sense of decency there. And then after those networks got those ratings, black programming took a back seat. Same thing's going to happen with Tubi and a lot of these other networks. It's a sad commentary, because we get to a point where we're so happy to see black people doing something, but we never look at it objectively about them doing the same old tired ass shit over and over again. And I know to some capacity, it's about that's all they're going to let them produce or finance. I get it. But at some point, we got to face it, don't we? I never found a man being in a dress funny. It just didn't seem funny to me. Not because I'm homophobic or nothing like that. It just didn't seem funny to me. Women look better in dresses than men do. It just doesn't look funny. It looks crazy. I don't get it. There are chapters within black history that's never been touched. They don't talk about the Tanzanians and the people from Malai that helped Scipio win the Battle of Carthage. They don't talk about things like that. They don't show films on things like that. They had a little glimpse of it in Gladiator, where they had the Nubians on the chariots, but they don't talk about how those people were very integral in the success of Rome. Because had they not participated, Hannibal would have won Carthage. And the world would have been a different place altogether. These are things that should be viewed, that should be looked at. We've been entertained enough as black people. We need to be educated more. We got sidetracked with Empire and all the rest of these other shows because there was black people on the screen talking about black issues. Contemporary issues, yeah. But after a while, you get tired of the day-to-day. Maybe at some point they'll have a good black vintage film that's Oscar-worthy. Maybe a historical classic. Something on the lines of a Gladiator or something of that sort. Because we got to realize, black people weren't just slaves. There were civilizations of different sorts throughout the history. All right, let me bring it back to this lady here, because I know we're going out there a bit. The next one. She was complaining about no advocacy. Now, here's the thing. Most black people aren't advocates. They'll vote. They'll show up at PTA meetings. They'll show up at different things where it's concerning their local well-being for the most part. But she's talking about white women, these racist white women, not being advocates. Well, you can't parallel that because there are black people that are not racist that aren't advocates either. Just like there are whites that are not advocates for causes such as black causes and those kind of things. And I'm very leery of that to a certain degree, and I'll tell you why. Black Lives Matter is a prime example. They want you to have that selective outrage because a white cop killed a black kid. Because of what happened with George Floyd. That was a reprehensible situation that happened to George Floyd that did not have to take place. The cop was definitely wrong on all levels. And you notice you had a hell of a lot of people out there videotaping, taking pictures, and nobody calling the mayor, CNN, or anyone else and saying, hey, we have a man out here that's about ready to die under the knee of a police officer. And we need somebody of authority to get him off of this man's neck before he kills him. I noticed nobody really tried to relate to that officer about the consequences of what he was doing. They made threats about he could be sued and all this other stuff. He was a narcissistic asshole that thought he was above the law. And those other officers did nothing. It was pathetic to see a black man or any man, but let alone a black man, die that way. The only thing they had to do was just put him in the vehicle, calm him down, put him in the vehicle, take him in, book him. You didn't have to throw him on the ground, do all that shit. But I'm not going to relive that because it pisses me off every time I think about it because it was unjust. And then what did Black Lives Matter do? Made a franchise out of it and fucked up the money. Where they could have spent that money on educating these young black kids not to kill each other in the streets. Because there's more of that happening than it is white cops killing black kids. Now, all of this came about through these social programs that took the men out of the house. Again, subjugate the black men once again. Breaking up the family. And folks, I want you to understand something. There were a lot of people that came from the South, sons of sharecroppers that went to places like Chicago, Detroit, New York, Cleveland, Ohio, trying to get away from Jim Crow. And these were intact families, but when they went to get some kind of public relief until they got on their feet, they were told that the man couldn't be in the house. Fathers had to leave their children and wives. Not to mention those men that had to go to Vietnam. And these women were stuck with the burden of rearing those children by themselves. And they could only do so much. And then what started to happen? The streets started to rear those children, especially young males. instead of looking up to a father, they were looking up to a pimp, a basketball star, a football star, a rapper. And they wanted that lifestyle of decadence. And they were willing to do whatever it took in order to get there. We're seeing some of the revelations for some of the people who are trying to go in the music industry and some of the things they had to do that are reprehensible to try to make it because they had no guidance. Father wasn't there. And so you had a generation of irresponsible young men having children with women that they had no means and no resources to take care of. And it perpetuated generation after generation. And to add insult to injury, you had a lot of women that said, we don't need a man, we could do it by ourselves in the 90s. Women were writing books about it. And many of these young men grew up in order to date women that the very men that many of you ladies are complaining about now in your 40s and 50s because of the fact that some of them didn't have a decent start. Guys going to prison because they thought that that was a way of attracting women. Oh, and women were valuing the thug life. Tupac was a very talented individual. But that was a life choice that Tupac made. But unfortunately, a lot of men tried to live that same life. And they fell short. Picking my friend up from prison after he had done, one did a 10-year stint, the other one did a 20-year stint. Family members didn't even pick him up. The things and the money that they had given family members and friends throughout the years when things were good for them in that lifestyle, those people don't even know him now. They moved on. Parents don't even want to deal with them. Then you had these young kids that live in the suburbs, got a mother and father, got a nuclear family, but yet they want to identify with a struggle that they never had to experience in order to get street credit, in order to feel like they have an identity. Girls asking guys, you got to have three bodies before you can date me. And the fool's going out there trying to injure someone so he can be liked by a girl. And winds up getting locked up. Probably getting turned out in prison. Coming out angry. Confused. About his sexuality, about his life and everything else. A lot of you ladies have written in about some of these men who had made some poor life choices early in life and now they're getting out of prison. In their 40s and 50s. They're dysfunctional. And you having to take care of them. Didn't work long enough to get Social Security. So they're there. It's sad. So this lack of advocacy is nothing more than a red herring. Let's carry on, shall we? The next one. Black men hating black women and the black community. In other words, self-hate. Self-hate is self-directed. You never hear about a black person dating a black man dating a black woman or a black woman dating a black man, and they call it self-love. You don't hear that term, do you? But you hear it when a person goes outside of their race. Because that's an assumption, a blind assumption without knowledge. It'd be kind of foolish because a person can't self-hate in the sense that because they're not with a person of their same ethnicity or race. That's not self-hate. Self-hate would be if they hated themselves enough in order to do harm to themselves and not like themselves. As a person, that other person that's not them is not a part of them. So how can they hate? How can they self-hate? You see, the problem is, these people that want to see you with people of your own race, that's all they care about is the aesthetics of it. They don't know whether or not you guys get along. They don't give a shit. And if you were out there on the street by yourself, they wouldn't respect you. They wouldn't know you. They wouldn't care. So it's all about their aesthetics and their views and the way they believe. Fuck them and their belief. That's society. Society ain't gonna do shit for you anyway, right? You better go for your happiness, because that's more important than anything else. The rest of this shit is lame. What are they trying to do? Put guilt on your shoulders like you don't have enough every day? Dealing with your family, dealing with your friends, dealing with the people that wanted you to do something and you didn't do it, dealing with the people that you have jettison from your life because they were toxic. We all have some form of guilt we have to contend with because somebody feels as though you didn't do the best you could for me. Well, maybe in some cases they shouldn't have. In some cases they've done too much. Now, the other thing you have to realize with this, the assumption for some people that really don't know anything about interracial relationships, for the most part, they will make the assumption because you're with someone of another race, you and that person of that other race hates people in that person's race. So like if a black man's with a white woman, they're thinking that they're conspiring together to hate black people as a couple. That may exist on the fringe element of it. Also what may exist is those two people may hate people in their own races. She may hate whites, he may hate blacks. Or it could be they could love everybody. But we love to come up with these grand assumptions on that without knowing the facts. And it cracked me up. A lady said the other night, she says, well, it all depends on what facts that you want to believe. Anyone that's taken statistics knows that you have to source more than your favorites. You gotta source things over multiple sources in order to come up with a full assessment. These people that say you have your own facts, nope. Do your research and quit cherry picking and going for your favorites. People hate that because what they hate is hearing the truth. They love to be placated. They love to feel complacent, like, okay, we're not that bad. You know, if things were going to be advocated for, let me tell you what should be advocated for, if anything. Where black men make a consensus to avoid going to jail by not engaging in illegal behavior. If black folks ever want to shut down the prison systems in this country, being that they are a good percentage of it, quit committing crimes. And what you would see is that they would probably make more laws with tighter infractions in order to try to get that population back in. Because you got to remember, a lot of these prison systems now are privatized. Some of them are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They're money-making enterprises. But if you don't have free slave labor, i.e. prisoners, they're no longer profitable. If you're going to protest anything, you should protest going to prison. You remain free, you make money, and you can pursue a better life. And if you really want to stick to racists, that would be the way to do it. But let's go on, shall we? The hatred bond. The hatred bond, of course, is the white woman hates black people and the black man hates the black woman. And that can go in reverse to where the black woman's with a white man and she hates black people. And he hates them too, supposedly. I haven't found this on a regular basis with many of the interracial relationships that I've been in and people I've known in interracial relationships. I haven't seen that. That's an assumption more so than anything. That's speculative, as her argument on this whole thing was speculative. But here's the thing that I would say. When it comes down to something like this, you will see this happening usually when two people have been butthurt by their own group, more so than you would one piling on the other side. Now, you do see it in some cases, but it's rare by comparison, because of the fact that the constituency would be the thing. Because even if they were to say, well, this is a good black person that I'm with who has the same racist views as I do, their constituents might say, yeah, but he's still black. So therefore, he doesn't get a key to the membership club. That's the way it goes. Now, the other thing. She also mentioned no advocating for black causes. I don't know too many people that actually do that, even within my own community. I don't see anybody going out in the streets or doing anything. You know, I'll put it to you this way. You look at what's going on with the protests now at the universities about Gaza. Now, the thing is, the United States can only do so much. It's up to Israel to make the decision because it's their conflict. We're going in on a humanitarian side because these are people that deserve to have a normal existence. And it's very difficult for the U.S. to even get a toehold on where they could start rebuilding or addressing some of the issues there in Gaza, where they would have a safe zone where they could probably set up a camp and then eventually create new cities for these people to live in with dignity and decency. But it seems like Israel wants to have access to basically the whole strip, so just in case Hamas moves to one area to the other, they would have the ability to strike. But what I would say to these individuals out there in the streets, don't get mad at the United States. They're doing what they can. Because, true enough, they're supplying weapons to Israel. Israel's after Hamas. And, of course, you still have the hostages, so it's a complex situation. And then you're also dealing with the fact that Hamas might come out better just giving up the people that were involved in it. And that could solve everything and release the hostages. Highly unlikely that's going to happen, though. But it's really a shame to see these people suffer. Just like it was a shame to see those people suffer in Rwanda during the genocide there, where the United States and many other nations just sat back and watched those people hack each other to death based on a radio broadcast over a legacy decades old, because the Belgians told the Tutsi that they looked better than the Hutu. They looked more European. Over aesthetics. At some point in our civilization, in our existence on this planet, we're going to have to learn how to treat each other better. But it seems like we only come together when there's some sort of insurmountable natural disaster. Kind of interesting. All right, let's carry on. The next, we only have two more.
the friend who happens to be a certain race or a certain ethnicity or something, my friend who happens to be transgender, I would never say nothing like that to one of my friends that are transgender. That's offensive. That's just like saying the artist formerly known as Prince. He did that out of sarcasm because Warner Brothers had his name according to the contract. And now these people are actually using it as if it's something cool to say. It sounds stupid. I have a black friend. I have a this friend. I have a that friend. Oh, my girlfriend's black. My girlfriend's white. Who fuck cares? Nobody cares. And they try to use that as a qualifier. As if to say, I'm not racist. I have a black girlfriend. I have a black this. Who the fuck cares? And even liberals will say this. I know I got a black... Who cares? Are you happy is the question. Now, her last argument was that black women in the family don't like her. Now, that could be for many reasons. It doesn't necessarily have to mean because she's a racist. They may not like her because she's white. See, the problem with her whole argument was that she made the assumption that the white woman was racist and evil, and the black folks were not discriminatory. Like I said, it was a flawed argument from the beginning. And this is the reason why, guys, you got to be very careful about the women you date. You got to look at their way of thinking, their philosophy, their motivations. Because sometimes what you'll see is something that is really incoherent. And you're like, you're on this tangent with this, but on that tangent with this, where are you? Where do you stand? You see, the problem with people that have this low level of standards and high level of acceptance, you have to go through that learning curve like I did. When I first started dating, I had standards set at a certain level, boundaries set at a certain level, which was kind of low. And what I started to realize was, wait a minute, everybody's not entitled to date me. Just because she's a female, she's not entitled to date me. I have to be more selective about the women I choose, because it's going to impact my life. And the way I realized that was because when you start doing things that are not relevant or related to you on the behalf of someone else, and then it takes you too far, of course, that's when you got to bring it back. And this is what I had to do. Now, are there racist women out there, racist white women out there? Yes, there are. That are dating black men? Yes, there are. Just like the racist white men dating black women. But what she failed to realize also is that there are black people out there who are also dating interracially, and they're racist. I'm talking about race on skin color. Because see, a lot of people will say a black person can't be racist because they can't deny someone something. That's not racism, folks. That's power. And here's the problem. If people were powerful enough to deny you things, black people would be in far worse shape than they are now. You wouldn't have black attorney generals. You wouldn't have black people in certain positions. But what that means is that collectively, these individuals may have power as a group. Individually, they don't. Why do you think the Klan went after people in groups as opposed to individually? That's what cowards do. So what you have to realize is that when it comes down to something like this, you can't use what she used as brash judgments to call somebody racist. Because you got to look at the very premise. A racist is not going to be with a minority anyway. A racist is not going to be with the majority person. If a black person is a racist, they're not going to be with white people. That's just the way it goes. So we've now kind of conflated all of these things associated with a certain group as racist without the very premise. Discrimination based on skin color, based on what you are. That's the disdain. Because see, a racist doesn't even want to touch, be around, or interact in any kind of way with a person that they despise. So what you may have are people with love-hate relationships, which is a whole different ball of wax completely. Now, like I said, I don't have nothing personal against this lady. It was just her philosophy that's kind of skewed, because with that, any one of us could be classified as a racist, despite the gender, despite the race. If this was applied, any one of us, we'd fall in the category of being a racist. This is the reason why I have to tell you to watch when people label someone as something, because they may be labeling or mislabeling the person. I was called a racist one time. There was a Hawaiian lady that liked me. She wasn't my type. Physically, she wasn't my type. Romantically, she definitely wasn't my type. Conversationally, she wasn't my type. And I just told her, I think we'd be better as friends. Oh, you're a racist because I'm Hawaiian. You don't like me. It had nothing to do with that. I've dated one Hawaiian woman in my life. She was a nice lady. I couldn't afford to go to Hawaii. It's expensive. Like my friend said, it's more expensive for than it is here. He's the same guy that says ambulance and says Celica phone instead of cellular phone. I'm like, damn, you need to go to the Toyota dealership and get you a phone? Yeah, man, I got to get my silica phone fixed. But he's cool, though. But that's the thing. You know, it gets to a point where no matter who you choose to love, folks, just make sure you vet them, no matter who they are, no matter race, gender, whatever, vet them well. Get to know them. Take time in order to understand them, their way of thinking, so you can make a better assessment on whether or not that person is suitable for you. And don't run to blanket archetypes like this. Thank you for listening, folks, and I will talk to you on tomorrow.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.